Welcome to Truth for Today. We conclude our present series about Bible prayers with a talk about the prayers of David, Hannah, and Elijah. Our speaker is Paul Thompson.
Good morning and welcome to Truth for Today. The title of our talk is Praying Old Testament Believers. This is the last in the series Bible Prayers. This morning I feel quite privileged to be able to give a talk on three great Old Testament characters, Hannah, Elijah and Daniel. Three very godly people who were marked by prayer and used by God in remarkable ways. Because of time, we will have to be short and to the point on each character. However, I suggest that you take time to read their life stories. Prayer. Well, the question is often asked, why do we need to pray when God knows our thoughts already? Prayer is the only way that we can speak to God, and by reading the Bible, God speaks to us. So if we did not pray, it would be like listening to someone but never speaking to them. From the very beginning, God came down to the Garden of Eden regularly to speak with Adam, to have a relationship with him. To have a proper relationship between two people, there needs to be a two-way dialogue. God wants to hear our thoughts, our desires, and our concerns, because he loves us. Prayer is something that's really important to a Christian. Prayer gives us the power in our daily lives to serve God and to be of use for him. How often do we fail to pray regularly? It's often the first thing we drop when we are busy or taken up with other things in life. But how often when we have problems we suddenly fall to our knees because we feel helpless and really need God's help to help us? So often we go along our daily lives in self-confidence with no thought of committing our day to God. We need to tell God every day that we rely and trust on him. We also need to thank and praise God. In fact, we should really begin our prayers in thanksgiving, as we have so much to thank God for. Praying regularly is a real challenge to me, and I am sure there are listeners today that have that same problem. On the other hand, there are men and women today who have real devoted prayer lives. James 5 verse 16 reads, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Oh, that these words could be true of me. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As we continue reading James 5, verse 17 and 18, James reminds us of Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The interesting thing here was that God had already told Elijah he would send drought, then rain. But Elijah still had to pray for it to happen. In looking for answers to prayer, we notice that in all the three characters we are considering, that after praying specifically for something, there was a period before their prayers were answered. Prayers are very rarely answered immediately. Sometimes God has to prepare us for the answer that's coming. I trust that today, as we consider Hannah, Elijah and Daniel, you may be encouraged to pray more and have the patience to wait for God's answer. The story of Hannah is found in 1 Samuel 1 and 2. Her name is only mentioned in 11 verses of the Bible, but see, she is such a well-known character. Hannah was a real woman of faith. She was married to Elkanah, and they had no children. Elkanah loved Hannah very, very much and was concerned because Hannah became very depressed because she was unable to have children. This really upset her. It did not help that Peninna, who was Elkanah's other wife, had children. Peninna was very cruel to Hannah and goaded her at every opportunity. The family were very faithful, and every year they made the journey to Shiloh to sacrifice and to worship God as they were required to do. Hannah, on one occasion in Shiloh, was provoked so much she was reduced to tears and she refused to eat. Hannah came before Eli the priest and she prayed to the Lord. It is interesting to note that Eli never heard her prayer. He saw her lips moving, but never heard any words. He actually thought she was drunk. Hannah's prayer was of a very personal nature. It was about something that was affecting her and her family. Hannah's attitude in coming to pray was maybe not the best, as she came in bitterness of spirit. Hannah's prayer was for a son. This was her heart's desire. She vowed that if the Lord gave her a son, she would give him back to the Lord after he was weaned. Hannah poured out her soul before the Lord. This was a desperate cry from a woman who was emptying her thoughts and desires into the Lord's hand. When Hannah had finished praying, Eli tells her that her prayer would be answered. Hannah then believed that the Lord would give her a son, and her attitude changed dramatically. Not long afterwards, Hannah did have a son, and she called him Samuel. Hannah loved Samuel so much, but the day came when Hannah handed Samuel over to Eli so he could serve the Lord in the temple. Hannah was faithful to God and kept her vow. Samuel became God's representative in Israel, a great prophet who anointed King David. God blessed Hannah even more by giving her more children. Hannah, in acknowledgement of God's answer to her prayer, prays a wonderful prayer of thanksgiving and worship. Her prayer is quite similar to the prayer of Mary. See Luke 1. Hannah's heart rejoiced, and thanksgiving and praise flowed from her lips. She acknowledged the greatness of God. She speaks of how God had helped her overcome her adversaries. Hannah was in the full appreciation of Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is how prayer works. Hannah prayed, God heard, God answered and acted. Hannah gave thanks and worshipped. You might argue that God would have done what he did without the prayers of Hannah. Maybe so. But God requires us to pray, to call upon him, to express our thoughts so he can answer our prayers. This sometimes takes time. Isn't it lovely when our children ask for our help or advice? And after receiving this, they say thank you. We, of course, are more than happy to help them in any way. But we always need to be honest and straight with them, not always just telling them the things they want to hear, not always giving them things when they want them. Answers to prayer are sometimes like this, not always what we want to hear and when we want them. When we come to Elijah, his prayers were not so much of a personal nature, but more out of a concern for the people of Israel. We pick up the story in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah was God's man, God's voice, God's representative at this time in Israel. He was a man who had great faith and one in whom God displayed great things. But Like you and me, he was overcome with feelings of helplessness, loneliness, fear, and depression. King Ahab ruled, and his wife Jezebel and her evil prophets of Baal had the ear of the people. These were dark days in Israel, as the people had turned their backs on God and were following idols. God is patient and lets things go on for so long, then he acts. God causes a drought in Israel to get the attention of the king and the people. Elijah, in fear and trembling, had the task of telling King Ahab what God was going to do. Elijah then ran for his life. There was a bounty on his head and he was afraid he would get killed. God cared for Elijah the same way he cares for you and me, although we don't always see it that way, usually because of the circumstances we are in at the time. The ravens fed him morning and night, and he drank water from the brook Cherith. God, in his wisdom, was preparing Elijah, so he was ready to execute the plan God had to bring his people Israel back to himself. I think God used the time when Elijah was on his own at the brook to great effect. Elijah was prepared and was given strength, enough strength for the challenges ahead. We next read of Elijah praying when he was faced with a death scene. He had called at a house where a widow lived with her only son who had just died. Elijah cried unto the Lord for the son to live again. Elijah's prayer was answered, and because of this, the widow recognized that he was a true man of God. God then speaks with Elijah directly, instructing him what he had to do next. Elijah had to challenge the prophets of Baal to prove the greatness of the only true and living God. The challenge was to light a sacrifice by calling down fire from heaven. The prophets of Baal, of course, could not do this, and Elijah heaped coals on their heads by pouring water over the sacrifice, then praying to God to light the fire. God answered his prayer, and the prophets of Baal were shamed, and the people again turned to God, the true and only God of Israel. Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal, but when Jezebel heard this, she sent out people to find Elijah and kill him. In 1 Kings 19, we read of Elijah in the wilderness. Weary with his life, feeling so low that he prays to God that he would die. God, in his mercy, sends an angel to strengthen Elijah and gives him strength for the journey ahead. Elijah finds a cave to hide in, and God asks him what he's up to. Elijah talks to the Lord. That is what prayer is all about, just simply talking to the Lord, spending time in his presence. The more we talk to God, the better we know and understand him. Elijah had a real heart for the people of Israel. He knew that they had turned their back on God, and he expresses this to him. But Elijah was also feeling sorry for himself, just like we do at times. He thought that he was the only one standing up for God in Israel amongst all the idolatry. God put him firmly in his place by telling him that he had 7,000 men who had not bowed the knee to the idol Baal. God also had another man ready called Elisha, who could take on the role Elijah had been fulfilling for God in Israel. Elijah had to realise that God was in control and that he would always have a remnant. A remnant is a small number of faithful people who would be a witness for him. Elijah continued listening and talking with God throughout the rest of his life, performing more great acts in the power of God. When we come to Daniel, we see a man of prayer. Daniel was a young man who was a captive in the land of Babylon. A foreign land, so not great circumstances to be in. But even in the most extreme circumstances, he faithfully got on his knees and prayed to God. His heart was set and his mind was made up that he would continue to have a relationship with God, no matter the consequences. Babylon was a place of terrible idolatry, and it would have been easier for him to give up than to set himself apart for God. Daniel had three friends who also shared Daniel's passion to set themselves apart for God. I am sure that when Daniel and his three friends took this stand for God, they did it prayerfully together. It is a good thing that believers of the same mind pray together. Daniel also had his own individual prayer life, as we read in Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It was Daniel's prayer life that gave him the power, the strength, and the belief that God would always look after him, even in the most extreme circumstances. A personal prayer life is essential as we serve God. The decree went out in Babylon that the only person you could pray to or worship was the king. Of course, this was totally against Daniel's beliefs. So even when the decree was signed, Daniel continued openly, without fear or shame, to pray to God three times every day. The consequences of doing this and getting caught was to be thrown into the den of lions. Daniel was caught, but God was in control of the situation and no lion was allowed to harm him. God's protection over his servants holds no bounds. God uses Daniel, a man who had built up a good reputation in Babylon, as a witness to his power and righteousness. So, what can we learn from these Old Testament believers' prayer lives? First of all, we must pray regularly. God loves to hear our voice, even the little things that concern us in life, things that we would class as not worth bringing to God. Anything at all that concerns us, God is interested in. The Bible tells us this in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God also desires our worship, our praise and our thanksgiving. Prayer shows our constant need and dependence upon a loving God who is also our Father. From Hannah we see that we can take deep personal problems to God. We also see that no matter what other people try and do to us, God is in control. He will lift us out of the circumstances that we are in. He will do this in his time and in his way, of course. We also see the expression of worship that came from the heart of Hannah. After experiencing answers to her prayer, there was a lovely outburst of praise from her heart. Seeing God's purposes in our lives should bring the same expression from our hearts. From Elijah, we see the heart that he has for God's people. Do we have a prayerful concern for the people of God? Some of us may be very selfish in our prayers, praying only for our own needs, family, and friends. We can also take heart from the way that Elijah thinks and feels. Even the greatest of God's servants felt the same way as we sometimes feel. Often we feel very low. Sometimes we think we are the only ones with certain thoughts and desires. But the Bible proves that we are not. We must remember that God is always watching out for us. His eye is always on us, whether we are in open communication with him or not. We may feel that we are the only ones doing God's will, but we will never be alone in the service of God. He will always have those who will serve him. God always cares for his servants. God uses his servants. God comforts and sustains every beloved servant of his. From Daniel, we see the benefit of regular, habitual praying. There needs to be that two-way communication that we talked about earlier. We also see that we should pray together with others. We must take a lesson from Daniel's purpose of heart, which is preconceived discipline. We see in Daniel's life that the God-given courage and power throughout his life came from his prayer life. If we are in constant touch with God and depend upon him in every aspect of our daily lives, we will be ready and available for God to use us, and we will have more powerful lives. We see God's almighty power in Daniel, but we also see God's care for his willing and obedient servant. The more we understand what God is like and what he plans to do in our lives, the more joy we will receive on a daily basis, and the more powerful our lives may be for God. So let us all make the effort to pray regularly. And as we do so, let's pray with respect and reverence to a loving and faithful God.